Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome back, folks. Yes, it's the Doggy Pod, and we've got something a little bit different for you today, but have been missing you, have been missing talking to you, so I'm looking forward to your feedback on today's show. Cool. And with me is my producer.
Well, we know how much Dr. Rob does like a chat, and he has been missing talking to people. He's just wandering around the vet clinic just talking to himself most of the time, and so it's good that we've put a microphone in front of him, and he's back for another bunch of episodes for the Doggy Pod, which will be a little bit different this season because we've done five or six seasons of the Doggy Pod, and there's a lot of information out there if ever you're looking for anything about your dog. So this new season is going to be a little bit more chatty, a little bit more pulling up a stool next to Dr. Rob at the pub and having a bit of a yak about some important things.
So hopefully you'll get some fun out of it. That's the most important thing, and also a few little things that you can try on your dog. Yes. I mean, talking about your dog, the question I keep getting asked is, how's Oggy, how's August? And I've got to tell you, folks, he is great. He is really growing up. Stephen, he's 7 months old now.
Wow, and he's so tall.
Quite a big boy. He's a big boy. Just a gorgeous natured dog. It really is.
For those of you who, you know, who are just catching up, August is Dr. Rob's new German Shepherd, and August is also going to be the star of a movie that we're just kind of in pre-production now, which will be shooting very, very soon. And Oggy, August, is the star of the movie, which is pretty cool. And Dr. Rob's training him to do all sorts of really interesting stuff.
Look, he can do, you'd be surprised, he's learned himself how to open the doors. I cannot, unless I really lock the door with a key, just shutting the door on him on the other side of the door.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious. He's just taught that one himself. He just hops up, boom, pushes the handle down, and in you come. Yes, Dad, I'm here with you straight away. Oh, God, he's a very clever little dog. I really do love him very much already. We've bonded extremely well.
Because your first dog, of course, was a German Shepherd.
Well, when you say my first dog, I've had dogs. We'll talk about that one day when we get on to what made me become a veterinarian, but let's talk Oggy at this stage. I mean, how did I pick this dog even? And that's a question I always get asked. Did you come across the breeder or the breed or whatever? And that's really the first thing, because in my practice, I do see a lot of people that have picked the wrong breed for them. They come in.
What, for their lifestyle, you mean?
For everything. They can't control the dog. The dog's biting other people. They can't stop it biting the neighbours or their own children or whatever it is, even themselves in some cases, because they've picked the wrong breed to start with for their own input into the dog. When you decide what breed you want, or when you're trying to decide what breed is the right breed for you, the one thing you've got to try and analyse, Stephen, is your own personality. Yeah, if you're a meek and mild person, and nothing wrong with being a soft person, a soft personality, but don't get a dominant breed of dog, because that dog will dominate you.
Oh, really? So the dog will suss you out pretty quickly?
Oh, very, straight away. And without even realising that the dog's sussing you out or even the dog's even trying to do it. It just happens that way. You know, the dog demands something, the soft person gives it to the dog, and all of a sudden the dog is telling people what to do and telling the owners what to do. I mean, the strangest case like that I've ever had was a case of the man of the house had to sit on the floor while the dog sat on the lounge next to his
next to the man's wife watching TV.
I'm deadly serious about this.
So
not the first case I'd heard of this either. The dog would bite him if he tried to get on the lounge. And
the man sat on the floor.
Yep.
While the dog sits on the lounge.
And they ended up in separate bedrooms. And they didn't want to get rid of the dog. They didn't want to put the dog to sleep.
No.
What should they do about that whole case? How did we change that configuration? And the man was just a lovely, soft, meek and mild sort of human being.
Mm.
And so I had to, obviously the first thing was, who fed the dog? Well, guess what? It was the wife. That had to stop. From now on, the person that feeds the dog would be the husband, just for starters.
If he's the one that's sitting on the floor watching TV.
I mean, he's got to start being the dominant person that starts calling the shots. But you couldn't believe it. The dog would really attack him quite severely if he tried to get on the lounge. So
that habit must have started from a very young age.
Like it was all play behaviour to start with. He'd sit on the floor and the dog would be on the lounge, and that's why I went into that, into the history of it. And it was such a little puppy, soft little puppy. We left it on the lounge while I sat on the rug on the floor, he said to me. I said, it all started at the very beginning.
There's your problem.
And we've got to try and retrain the dog. And that's virtually what we had to do. We had to, the man had to put the dog on the lead and take him for walks. Not the lady had to back off a lot. Had to do the little things, like when you're going through a doorway, you pull the dog back and you go through first and then let the dog through second. You're on point, not the dog.
Is that a blanket rule? Don't let the dog go through the door.
No,
first.
Not necessarily. I mean, Oggy will charge through for me unless I say, Oggy, wait, and he'll wait until I go through. So there's, it doesn't have to be that way. But if it's a case of dominance where the dog is dominating, then I want to start doing other things. I made the gentleman and his wife have dinner first. They used to feed the dog first. No, they eat first and then the dog eats second.
Oh, why would you do that?
Because the dog is second in the pack. In the pack, who eats first? The pack leader goes in first and eats, and the others might try and nibble bits on the side. They always try, but the pack leader gets first dibs on the kill, and the others can come in and have some later. But he will fight. The pack leader will fight for his seat at the table.
Is that something you would recommend to most people?
Everybody, should. If you can, feed the dog after the family eats. You put the food down and the dog eats. And with Oggy...
I've been doing it wrong all these years.
Yeah, everybody does. Everybody, let's get the dog out of the way, feed the
dog,
and
that's
we can
it.
Sit down and relax.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. You do want to sit down and relax. I do often because I've got so many dogs to feed. I'll often feed all the dogs first, right? They're done. The cats are done. Oh, I can sit down and relax. Because you don't want to get up and feed the dogs afterwards, which is understandable. Look, it doesn't matter in your case, Stephen, with little Molly, and people who have watched our Instagram and Facebook have seen Molly. She's just a gorgeous little dog. She's not trying to dominate. She's not trying to be the number one boss in the whole clan. So it's not a problem if she eats first. It's only becomes when it becomes an issue is when this is a dominant dog that's dominating the family. It's time to take steps, take measures.
Put that dog in its place.
Yeah, to just, the dog has to understand, the hierarchy. The other thing I did with this person was recommend a dog training place for him. Now, I'm not saying a professional trainer where he put the dog in, not at all.
Mm.
Quite the opposite. There are, around the world, there are dog clubs that will help you train your dogs. Volunteers that help you train your dog. These people, they don't get paid for it. They're not paid instructors, but they are instructors. They've done obedience themselves. They love it. And they enjoy training people to train their dogs. And that's what they do. You join a dog club, take your dog once a week, and then you practice what you learn at the dog club. How many hours a day do you have to practice? 5 minutes twice a day is plenty. Yeah, not more. Yeah, you might do 5 minutes three or four times a day, but you don't do big one-hour sessions at home. Just the dog gets totally and utterly bored. Oggy gets 3 to 5 minutes, and then we stop. And then maybe a few hours later, another 3 to 5 minutes, and then we stop. Some formal training for 3 to 5 minutes, that's it. Not you know, laborious training of marching up and down the field, heeling all day long. You don't want to bore the dog, but you want to be able to get the dog to perform certain behaviours. And, of course, you reward the dog. People, oh, yes, I give my dog treats. Yeah, that's okay, but don't give it treats all the time. Sometimes it's just good to say, good dog, good dog. Since I got Oggy, when I put the food down, I make him sit and wait or stay. I put the food down. We wait a few seconds, maybe a minute or so. And then, good dog, eat your food. And he goes, yeah, I do that with my dog. Everyone tells me that. Yes. But then, do you keep patting your dog and do you keep saying, good dog, while he's eating?
What does that do?
Well, all of a sudden, he enjoys meal. I mean, he is... At the first few weeks, he's hearing blah, 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 blah in his ear.
Right.
But once we bond, he can feel me patting him, and he wags his tail while he does it. Then he keeps, I pat him, and he's hearing, good dog. And so he associates good dog with a good feeling. Yeah, a guy years ago, a guy called Pavlov, used to feed dogs and ring a bell.
Yes. Yeah? Yes. Everybody knows Pavlov.
Okay, and then he would ring the bell without the food, and they'd salivate. Because they associate the bell with food. Good dog, they're associating it with food. They're also associating it with a good feeling. My owner is patting me. My owner is telling me I'm good. I'm enjoying the food. And this is all good. So good dog means a reward of some kind. And just the words alone are sufficient to get the dog's endorphins going and he feels good about life.
So you were saying earlier about people choosing the wrong breed for them, you know.
Yep.
And there was a story you were telling me a little while ago about, you know, some people who get a big dog and they want an aggressive dog because they're thinking of it for security or whatever. But that doesn't always end well.
It usually ends very poorly because people don't know how to handle those dogs. They'll send them off to a place that'll teach them to attack. And that's one of the most dangerous things. I don't understand a government that wants to regulate guns but not regulate an attack-trained dog.
So there are places you can go to get your dog trained to attack.
Yeah, and for me, it should be regulated as much as a shotgun is regulated because you've got a loaded gun with the hammer cocked ready to fire. That's what you've got when you've got an attack-trained dog. You don't go, Oggy will never be trained to attack. But I know as he gets older, he will protect me. If someone came up to me and threatened me, Oggy was there, he would just know, and he would interfere badly with that person.
Oggy has very, very sharp teeth.
Isn't he friendly? He just loves everybody. Oh, yeah. Everybody that meets him, he's so friendly. He's just so lovely. He is. That's all I want from him. Protection and all those things will come as a natural instinct to the dog.
But you were saying earlier there's been issues with some of these places that train attack dogs.
Yeah, because it's not regulated. Like I said, it's not regulated at all. We're seeing some dogs that shouldn't even be trained like that to really be, if you like, almost... I don't know what happens because I've had some clients that said, I sent my dog to that place to be trained, and my dog's very scared now.
Well, worse,
because it becomes a fear biter. And I don't know how they train the dog, but it can't be a correct method if the dog is now scared. Yeah, the dog's very frightened.
So it bites when it's scared.
Yeah, I think that's all they do. And you can use fear to bring out aggression. That's the worst thing. It's the worst thing, but that's possibly what some of these places do. They don't even know how to do it. Like the police dogs that you see, the general purpose dogs that do the attack work, don't attack. None of those dogs attack. Do you know that? They actually retrieve. They're just taught to retrieve. Okay. And if the man doesn't want to come down with them, they,
they retrieve the
we're
crook.
We're going to retrieve you whether you like it or not.
I'm going to bring this crook back to you.
Yeah. Out come the teeth and away they go. They're not taught to bite. They're taught to retrieve the person. Like, you know, different command when they're retrieving a human to retrieving a dumbbell, but it's still a retrieve. It's not an overt, aggressive dog. You know, these dogs, and I've worked with these police dogs and security dogs, a good security dog and a good police dog allows me to do whatever I need to do to keep it healthy, which means a full, thorough physical examination. The handler's there, he's holding the head just to make sure, especially.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When I put the thermometer in different places. But, you know, the dogs are very well trained. That's a proper trained dog. A lot of people send the dog off to be trained. They get the dog back and they don't know and don't reinforce the right commands on the dog.
Especially if you're sending it off to be aggressive or...
You've got to know a few lessons for yourself. It doesn't cut it. It has to become almost innate behaviour in yourself. You know? And this is why dog training schools that you go on weekends or one night during the week, whatever it is, they train you to train your dog. So you do the right behaviours to get the correct response from your dog. And when you get that correct response, good dog. Or maybe a little bit of food, whichever, or both. In fact, you never give a little bit of food as a reward without saying good dog or whatever command you use as the command that makes the dog happy and wants to work, because it should be motivated. You know, the dog should be motivated to work, not cowed into it or any other, or pulled around or slapped around or anything like that. The dog should be motivated to want to do this. And if you do that, then you've got a great training session going on.
So you were saying earlier that the potential owners should look at what sort of personalities they are.
Yeah,
I assume that's the same with, like, across a family as well.
Absolutely. People think, it's how big your backyard is as to what size dog. It has nothing to do with it. The commitment is, firstly, your own personality. Secondly, how many people have you got coming and going? Have you got young kids? Young kids that bring strange kids in, because then you want a really friendly dog.
Right.
You know, an attack-trained dog with strange children coming could attack those dogs.
It could attack any other dog too that came.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want the right, look at your family, look at your situation, and then look at your commitment. Are you prepared to take your dog out each day for a bit of a walk? And if you're not, if you only want to take the dog out just on weekends, don't get the dog. It doesn't matter what breed it is. You know, you should be able committed to even the shortest walk just to get the dog out and help the dog mentally to get out of the backyard. Doesn't have to be a big, long walk, but to just mentally do it. Augie gets usually three type of things. He gets a bit of a session where we go out and we'll do a bit of obedience. At the end of the obedience, I'll throw a ball for him for a while because that's a reward. He enjoys retrieving, he enjoys chasing the ball. Or we'll just go for our long walks, our half-hour or one-hour walk. We do that either in the morning or in the evening.
1 hour walk, that's very generous.
Yeah, well, he loves it, and it's taking some weight off me, thank goodness. Keeps you healthy,
that's true.
So it's really important. Now, how did I pick Oggie? How did I pick that?
Yeah, because you the breed, but then two, when you saw that litter of gorgeous little German Shepherd puppies, how do you say that's the one?
Well, it happened even before I saw the litter. The sire I saw his puppies all the time. And there's nothing better than knowing that the male or the female, the type of puppies they throw. You know, have they had a litter before? And if they've had a few litters, have a look. You know, you've decided on this breed.
Mm.
What sort of puppies is this male throwing? Are they good pups? And if they are and they're sound, they don't have hip dysplasia or they don't have knee problems. If it's a small dog, they don't have any breathing problems,
that's assuming it's a pedigree dog, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I love rescue dogs. Don't get me wrong. I love the breed rescue. It's, I'll be going down to the pound this week. I go down every couple of weeks to help out down there. And that's just voluntary work, but I enjoy seeing dogs rescued.
Yes, but who doesn't?
If you decide on a breed of dogs, even if you decide I want a cavoodle, a cross between a cavalier and a poodle. Has that mother had any pups before? If she has, try and find out a little bit about them. Has the father had any pups before? Try and find out a little bit about those pups. Make sure, because you get variations in cavoodle breeders or any of these breeders. Some of them do it so ethically, so correct. They have all the males and females checked for all sorts of hereditary conditions before they breed. Others, no, they get the cheapest male, the cheapest female to produce puppies to make money.
Right.
The ethical breeder will give you some guarantees. You know, they'll say, you know, if your pup develops this or that, we'll refund you your money. These are the vaccination certificates, these are the microchipping papers, these are the days when I worm the puppies. Come and have a look. If you go there to a good breeder, like with Oggy's breeder, you go there, the place is just so clean, it's pristine, there isn't dog feces everywhere. You know, I don't mind your step because there's so much dog poo on the yard. No, none of that. When I went to Steve and Patty's place to pick up Oggy, and I went there a couple of times, the place is always just very, very clean. That's important.
Can I just say, and I won't mention names, but when we bought Molly, it was a breeder, and I suspect a backyard breeder, let's just say. And the place was disgusting.
Yeah, and you won't horrible. Do that. I won't let you do that again.
It was disgusting. I mean, we managed to get a good dog out of it. But,
yes.
But it was gross. There was dog poo everywhere, and the place stunk, and there were dogs everywhere. And
I've had clients that know that that's not where you buy from, but I'm going to buy one of these pups just to rescue the pup out of that situation as well.
Yeah,
that's what happens. And I've had that, I won't mention it, but people that went to a breeder known for this problem, they rescued this gorgeous little white puppy and has been a gorgeous little dog, but with lots of issues through its life.
Physical issues.
Yeah, physical issues. And that, I see that quite commonly. Whereas I know if I had a problem with Oggy and I said to the breeder, we've got a hereditary problem here, they'd say, oh, please, you know, let us refund or do whatever. No, I don't want that. But they would do that.
Mm.
And they would then make sure that they steer away from those lines if they were ever going to breed again, which they will do, hopefully, and have more pups because they breed beautiful German Shepherds.
Hmm.
So
when you get there and you're looking at how many were in the litter? Oh, it was a few, weren't there?
There was, I'm trying to remember now, something like nine pups, I think it was, in the litter. Yeah,
so you've got nine opportunities to take home one dog. It's a tough decision.
Yeah, well, it's a very tough decision because, I was just looking for the right dog for temperament. I wasn't looking for a show dog or anything like that. I just wanted a dog that I would train and enjoy everything about him. And so I did go for the more gregarious, outgoing dog. Maybe if you're...
Based on what, though? What were you doing to find out? Because they all would have been running around like crazy, weren't they?
Within reason, but Oggy came straight up and he just played with me all the time. The others would play for a while and then go away. Oggy stayed with me. And the weird thing is, the breeder said to me, what are you going to call him? Because my son's very attached to this little dog. And I said, what does your son call him? He says, I call him Oggy. And I said, no, you're not going to believe this. That's what I'm calling him, August, Oggy.
Really?
So he had his name even before I picked it in the way.
No.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was just the most amazing thing that happened. But, always look at the breeder and also get some references about the breeder from other people.
Mm.
People that have bought from them, and they'd say, I'd never do that again, or people that bought from them, they were great. That sort of thing is very, very important when you're trying to buy a puppy. And of course, look at the litter itself. Are they all happy and healthy, shiny coats, they're coming out? Yeah, there will always be someone will do a poo. Is it nice and firm?
But there's always one that's always quiet. There's always one.
Maybe nothing wrong with that quiet one. You know, it may suit your family more to have something that's not quite as outgoing. You've decided on a Labrador, but you don't want something that's too rambunctious, and you just might go for that quieter Labrador. Be guided by an ethical breeder. You know, if you've got an ethical breeder, they will want you. They won't want to sell you a dog just for the sake of it. If you're not the right family, you're not the right home for that breed or for that dog, they won't want to sell it to you. So be guided by them. They'll help you. A good breeder is there for the life of your dog, to be honest. Mm. And I see that all the time. People that are good breeders, the puppy owner can contact them about all sorts of things right through the pup's life. They certainly love to get photos of the puppies as they grow. They want to see photos of what the puppy's doing. Yeah. And they even want to hear about when it's time for the puppy's life to, well, not puppy anymore, old. And they love to hear all of it. It's the whole life story.
So how was that moment then when you thought, yep, I've made my decision?
Yep.
And then one last look at the other puppies and think, oh, have I made the right decision?
No, I never thought that. I looked at them at 6 weeks and I thought, I think you're the one. When I went back at 8 weeks.
Big decision.
When I went back at 8 weeks, I thought, yep, you're definitely the one. And I love the other. I wouldn't take some of the others home, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you can only have so many dogs. And also, you know, that's the thing. When you deciding on the breed, what's your time commitment? I mean, not just going for a walk and that. German Shepherd requires a fair bit of time to do training. Mm. Whereas if I would have gotten a smaller dog, doesn't require as much training, not as much input. So what is my commitment to the dog time-wise? Because that will determine if what sort of family dog you want. Everybody wants a good family dog.
Of course.
And so if you want that, you've got to think about the breed that suits you. A small breed like Shih Tzu or a Maltese is not going to require loads and loads of training. They're just going to fit into the family. Shih Tzus are just delightful breeds for the family. Really good breed of dog. But you don't need to spend hours and hours training, nor do you need to spend hours and hours walking them because they're little dogs. A few steps is a long way for these dogs compared to a few steps on the German Shepherd.
Have you ever had somebody come to you with a dog that they've just gotten and kind of said, listen, Dr. Rob, I think we've picked the wrong dog?
Oh, yeah very
the
much.
The wrong breed. Or...
Very, very much. And I counsel them to go back to the breeder. A good breeder takes the pup back straight away and refunds the money. No problem. I've had that quite a... Or they come in and they'll tell me, look, these are the problems we're having. And I say, you don't like that dog much, do you? Oh, look...
Just have it connected.
And I said, the problem is it's the wrong dog for you and maybe the wrong breed for you. I hate to tell you between the eyes and be so blunt, but this dog has got another 12 to 14 years in front of it, and I want the dog to be happy as much as I want you to be happy, and you're never going to be really happy with this dog.
Yeah.
And it's time to give it back straight away. And I've even had people that have... taken dogs, we've sold dogs that have been what we thought's a good home, and they run, it's just, we can't, the dog's jumping all the time, it's a puppy, what'd you expect? Okay, just come straight back, please, no worries, I'll go and pick it up and refund the money straight away, no questions asked. That's what a good breeder will always do, because you don't want that pup being in a home that where it's going to grow up being a bit unwanted or a bit unloved. Yeah, they will grow on you and they will love you and you'll love them, but it's not the same when you don't have that connection.
But in the end, I guess it's the most important thing is you will always feel something in your heart when you're looking at a dog and you make that choice. There's going to be some emotional pull, I'm sure.
When you look at a puppy, and you look into its eyes, if you feel nothing, go to the police and tell them you're some sort of pathological killer. Because
you're a sociopath.
Yeah, absolute sociopath. You look at the puppy's eyes and it doesn't matter the breed, you just fall in love.
Well, see, that's the challenge though, isn't it? Because anybody looks at every puppy and you think, I want them all. So, you know, it's just that thin line between the one puppy that's going to be, you're just giving me that little bit extra.
Yeah, that's it. And look in their eyes, they will talk to you.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, well, thanks for that, Rob. We'll be doing more of these episodes very soon. Please stand
by. Are we done? Are we done for that? Oh, we haven't even started. We're just starting. Oh, folks.
We've
okay.
We've got to move on. We've got things to do. Oggy's got to go back to training for the movie because Oggy's doing all sorts of fun stunts for the movie. We've got to get back to work. Sorry, mate.
All right, off to training. See you guys.
See you, bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.